speaks to you this evening from that passage of Scripture that I read to you from the 22nd chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and in particular on one verse, verse 16. The words that were spoken by a man called Ananias, a Christian Jew, in the city of Damascus, when he comes into the house where Saul of Tarsus, or as he's better known to us, Paul the Apostle, was staying, and this is what he says to him: "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Or, to put it in some of the modern translations, "And now, why are you waiting? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But first of all, I want to try and remind you, or perhaps explain to you if you're not familiar with the Scriptures, what it is that lies behind this. It is an occasion that it was a very dramatic occasion. This man, Paul of Tarsus, or Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, he had been in Jerusalem. By this time he's a Christian, and he encountered great opposition, indeed hatred, on the part of the Jews that were there in Jerusalem. They attacked him, and I don't think there's any doubt but that had it not been for the intervention of the Roman soldiers, they would have killed him. But the Roman soldiers did intervene. They arrested him, really for his own safety. And then the captain decided he wanted to find out what it was exactly what was the reason why Paul should have been set upon in the way that he had done. And what Paul has been doing has been to speak to the people, telling them how it was that he had become a Christian. If you know the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you know that three times over in this book, this same story is repeated for us. The first occasion comes in chapter 9, and then again in chapter 22, and once more in chapter 26. On three separate occasions, it's as if we're given a fairly detailed account of how Saul of Tarsus, who was a very determined, a very prejudiced, I think one can say a very bigoted Jew, became a Christian. And what had happened was this: he was actually on his way to Damascus. He had letters of authority from the chief priest in Jerusalem to arrest any Jews he could find in Damascus who were professing to be Christians, and he would arrest them and take them back to Jerusalem. But of course, by the time he got to Damascus, he was no longer simply a Jew. By this time he was a Christian, because something very wonderful had happened to him. There, just before he'd got to Damascus, in the middle of the day, there was a great light from heaven, and actually the risen Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was thrown to the ground, and the risen Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him and asked him why he was persecuting him. And the upshot of it all was that there and then Saul of Tarsus was converted and became a Christian. He was stricken with blindness, and for 3 days that was his state and his condition. They led him by the hand into Damascus, and we're told where exactly it was that he was staying. And meanwhile, God had spoken to this Christian Jew, a man by the name of Ananias, that he was to go to where Saul was staying, and Ananias didn't want to do it because he knew that Saul was a hater of Jesus Christ and a persecutor of Christians. He knew full well that was why Saul had come to Damascus. And so, quite reasonably, he argued like this: "If I go to see him, it'll be for all the world as if I'm putting myself in his hands. He'll arrest me. He'll take me off to Jerusalem for persecution." But the Lord Jesus Christ reassured Ananias that that would not be the case. He told him what had happened to Saul, that now Saul, who had been a hater of Jesus Christ, now he was a servant and a follower of the Lord Jesus. And so Ananias went along to the house where Saul was staying, and he speaks to him. And this is one of the things that he says to him. Arise, get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And in view of the particular nature of the service this evening, which as we all know is a baptismal service, I thought it would be appropriate if I came to this particular verse and used it as an occasion in order to explain something of the significance and meaning of baptism. Usually on an occasion like this we have a number of perhaps friends, relatives of the person being baptized. They may not be all that familiar with what it is we're to do. And indeed, those who come regularly, they might, in an outward sense, know what it is that we're doing, but maybe they've never understood the significance of it. And therefore, I think it's very appropriate that tonight I try to take this question of baptism and see what it is that it signifies, what it means, how it is to apply to men and women today. One of the things you can say quite clearly that emerges from this is that by being baptized, Saul was marking himself out as a Christian. He was saying, in effect, that he wasn't ashamed or afraid to stand up and be reckoned as a Christian. And you might think, well, certainly in this country that's an easy thing for us to do. Nobody is likely to persecute you for becoming a Christian. You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to be thrown out of your home. Certainly you're not going to be arrested and perhaps your life be threatened. But perhaps it might be worthwhile us reminding ourselves this evening that that is not the case in many countries of the world tonight. Our friend Javad, who's to be baptized this evening, he comes from the country of Iran, Persia. And I know for a fact, in fact he's actually shown me on his computer screen some pictures of Christians there being persecuted, some of them with nooses around their necks, not because they're lawbreakers, but because the authorities do not want them to be Christians, and some of them, as a result, have died for their faith. Well, that seems strange to us, because nothing like that happens to us here, for which we can thank God. But it's worthwhile us reminding ourselves that it isn't always an easy and a simple thing to stand up and say, I am a Christian, and actually to go through the waters of baptism as an outward sign that you are a Christian. Many years ago, I remember speaking to a man who, after the Second World War, he'd been a chaplain in the Royal Air Force. And at that time, parts of Eastern Africa, they were still reckoned as belonging to the British Empire. And the particular unit that he was stationed with, that's where they were serving. And I remember him saying that they had some of the local people, and that they were Muslims, some of those local people who were converted. And I've never forgotten what he said. He said, when they got baptized, they signed their death warrant. And what he meant by that was simply this, that to stand up and be counted as a Christian, publicly to be baptized, mark them out, and the people that they'd been brought up with, the people that were their friends, even their relatives, they turned on them, and not a few of them faced execution or murder because they were Christians. It still happens in many parts of the world. And I think particularly as we don't face any risk like that, it's worthwhile us reminding ourselves this evening of what is involved in being a Christian and openly professing faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that was what Ananias was calling upon Saul to do. Arise, he says, get up, be baptized. And as you do so, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to wash away your sins. That is what this man Ananias came and said to Saul of Tarsus. And that's what happened to Saul. He was baptized, and he became, well, we know that he was a very great apostle, and much of the remainder of the New Testament is composed of little letters that he wrote, sometimes to individual Christians, more often to churches, to help them understand more of the Christian faith and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think if he was... Switch this light off. It'll. That's better. Thank you. Right. I can still see enough here, and it'll be less distracting for you and for me. So that's the situation that Paul is facing. He knows that for him to be baptized, it's going to create furious antagonism, and the rest of his life is going to be a life in which he's under threat from Jews and others who hate the fact that now he is a Christian. But that doesn't deter him. On he goes, and he is baptized. But the question that arises is this: what does baptism mean? What does it stand for? You see, one of the dangers is that perhaps those of us who, if we are not Christians, at least we're used to a Christian service. Maybe, I don't know how many baptismal services some of you might have been to. And you found them interesting. Perhaps in some senses you've even admired the people being baptized. But if anybody were to ask you, what's the meaning, what's the significance of baptism, you'd be at a loss how to answer them. Well, I want to try and help you in that way this evening. Well, what is the significance of baptism? Well, clearly, there's something symbolic about it. It isn't that the baptismal water washes away your sin. Nothing physical can do that. Sin is a spiritual reality, and it can't be removed by the application of physical water. So that clearly is not what Ananias is saying to Saul when he says, tells him to get up and be baptized, washing away his sins and calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be something more than that. You see, the Bible from beginning to end makes it very clear to us that we're sinners. And sin renders us unclean in the sight of God. It's as if it defiles us. It makes us the very opposite of what we should be. And so, before a sinner can come into the presence of God without there being a terrible collision between them, something needs to be done about his sin. His sin needs to be purged away. His sin needs to be washed away. We need cleansing. And certainly what baptism speaks to us of, first of all, is the necessity for cleansing from sin. But then you might say, immediately the question arises, what on earth can cleanse us from sin? If it isn't the actual water that can cleanse us, what can cleanse us? And again, the answer of the Bible is very simple and unanimous. It says this: there's only one thing that can wash sin away from the sinner, and that one thing is the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary when he died as our Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the baptismal service, the actual baptism itself, what it immediately points us away to is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he loved us so much as to be willing to die on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven and that we might be at peace with God. There's no other way to God but through him. That's why I'm certainly I'm not in any state of uncertainty in telling somebody, be he a Muslim, be he just some ordinary unbeliever who's never been to another country. I'm never ashamed of telling them that they need to have their sins forgiven, and that the only way that they can have their sins forgiven is as they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and trust in him. He alone is the Savior. And the water won't cleanse them. They could actually come and be baptized in a physical sense, but if nothing has happened in their heart, it's all a sham and a show. There needs to be some reality within. And what is that reality? Well, that reality is that they have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if baptism is, first of all, a symbol of cleansing from sin, it's secondly this. It's a statement that this man, this individual, whoever it is being baptized, has placed his faith, his trust, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if he's said something, first of all, about himself, that there's something wrong with him, that he can't do what the Bible tells him to do and keep the law of God. In other words, he's not telling God that he's good as he is, that he's good enough as he is, that he's able to come to God and be acceptable by God. No, the sinner must come saying that he is unclean in the sight of God, that he's unworthy, he's not deserving of any of God's love and grace and mercy. It's the very opposite of self-reliance. In fact, what he then goes on to say is this: despite all my unworthiness, I look away from myself, I look away to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust in him. So baptism is nothing less than a statement of faith, a statement of trust in Jesus Christ. It's a way of saying, you might put it like this, that all that he has done, it's enough. I can't add to it. I don't need to add to it. His life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, it was all for me. It needs no addition. It's perfect. And as I look to him, and as I trust in him, God will receive me. You might see that really is what Ananias is saying to Paul. Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It means you're looking to him, you're trusting in him, you're praying to God through him. So it's a statement of trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that isn't all that it is. Yes, it certainly is a symbol of cleansing from sin. It certainly is a statement of trust or faith in Jesus Christ. But it's something more than that. It's a promise. It's a pledge. And the person being baptized is making that promise, making that pledge before God. A promise or a pledge to serve him. He's not saying that he's joining a club. Don't think of a church like that. That's the last thing that a church is. What baptism first of all signifies is this: this person belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. This person is going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something unconditional about it. When a person is baptized, he's not saying, well, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ as long as he does what I'd like him to do, as long as my route through life is smooth and easy, I'll follow him. No, you leave all that with God. And you say, come what may, by God's grace, it's my promise that I'm going to serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something unconditional about him, about it. And it means as well, you see, that really what you're stating is that you're willing to share his reproach. You see, people don't like Jesus Christ. They didn't like him when he was here on earth. They were glad perhaps to benefit from his miracles and express a sense of wonder and amazement at the sort of things that he was doing. But when he spoke to them directly, when he spoke to them about their sin, when he spoke to them about their need to turn from sin in repentance and come in obedient faith to him and to his Father, they didn't like that. And you remember all that antagonism and antipathy. It came to a terrible climax there, just outside Jerusalem on the hill called Calvary, where Jesus Christ was being crucified, and they wouldn't even let him die in peace. They had to hurl their abuse, their taunts, their ridicule in his face. They didn't like him. And that, to one extent or another, has always been the experience of those who are Christians. They discover that they share in the reproach of Jesus Christ. It's as if some of that has rubbed off on them. And therefore, when a person is baptized, he's saying not that he's looking to suffer, but that he's willing to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's willing to share in his reproach, but he's willing not because he feels himself to be strong and worthy in any sense. He's willing because he's dependent upon the grace of God. And our friend and brother Javed tonight, as he is baptized, that must be his conviction. He doesn't know what lies ahead of him. He doesn't know what trials and troubles and tribulations may come his way. But one thing he does know is this, that whatever may come, God's grace will be sufficient. Wherever God leads us, we can be sure he provides all the needed grace that we ever require. And so, to be baptized is another way of saying I'm depending upon him. I'm not making an assertion about myself. I know that I'm weak. I know that I'm very fragile and frail. But my Savior isn't. And I look to him to strengthen me and be with me. So, those are some very simple things that baptism has to say to us. It's a symbol of cleansing from sin. It's a statement of trust or faith in Jesus Christ. It's a promise or a pledge to serve him unconditionally. And really, when we come to a service like this, it may be interesting. Perhaps some of you are here because our friend who is to be baptized, he means a lot to you. He's a friend of yours, maybe a relative of yours. And in one sense, you're quite fascinated by the proceedings. That's why you've come along. But really, what he's doing is a testimony and a challenge to you and to me. It's really speaking to us and saying something like this. This is what being a Christian really means. How is it with you? Do you trust in Jesus Christ? Have your sins been washed away? Are you willing to serve him, come what may, by his grace? Are you really a Christian? And if not, come to him. Look to him. Ask him to do in your life what he does in the life of every person who ever trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make you new. Give you strength. Lead you through all the trials and difficulties. And one day, take you home to glory with him in heaven. That's one of the great things that a baptismal service says. It speaks to us about our personal need of Jesus Christ and about our commitment to him. So I want you to think about that this evening, and especially as our friend and brother is baptized, don't look upon it just as a spectacle. Ask yourself some questions. What it means to you, and give yourself to God. Amen.